Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's the gardening show today. Joining us to answer your questions, Fred Breglia, director of the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York, and Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery, a lawn and garden resource in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. From our corrections department, I should say that our smart alecky fund drive director, Felicia Burke, pointed out to me that I said it was Wednesday. Today is Thursday.
Yes, it is.
I was so wrapped up. Stayed up late watching Sharknado 2 last night that I didn't get much sleep, and we watched it the second time, and so I apologize. Today's Thursday, everyone. Thursday, Felicia, 1-800-348-2551 is the number on this gardening show. 1-800-348-2551 is the number, and we love to hear from you on the phone. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org if you so desire. You could comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You could post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the website, WAMC.org/Vox Pop. You could tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop, but call. Please call 800-348-2551. Greg, Fred, nice to have you guys back.
It's great to be back, right?
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Busy time for you both, yes?
Yeah, 'tis the season for being busy, but, you know, it's a good thing, and things are growing, so can't complain.
Yeah, for me, it's actually starts to calm down now. The rush of spring is sort of waned, and we're now in this sort of the summer continuous color mode. Things are just blooming their hearts out, perennials, annuals, just doing amazing things. We're getting a lot of rain in Berkshire County.
Yeah.
Not sure about Albany.
Oh,
County.
Yeah, we're getting plenty.
And with, you know, maybe a little too much at this point in terms of some possible flooding we had the other day. But other than that, it's been a very good growing year. The thing I hear probably the most from customers is, wow, it is so lush out there. Everything has grown 3 feet and it looks amazing.
That's great. Now, some bad news on the horticulture front. Fred, I heard a news piece early this morning that the emerald ash borer has now been found at an arboretum somewhere outside of Boston.
Okay, yeah, the emerald ash borer, you know, being found there doesn't really surprise me because it's spreading. It's a fairly bad invasive in the sense that it has the ability to spread fairly rapidly, and that's kind of how it got so established. One of the things that gives it such an advantage is that it has a great flight span. It's a light, small beetle, and it often even catches winds, and the winds will even, not only is it a good flyer, but the winds will actually help carry it even further.
Yeah.
And there's been cases where it's even jumped the quarantine zones, like they thought they had it, and it actually jumped the quarantine zone.
Well, how does that thing run its course? How much devastation before that thing is not a problem?
You know, I have a feeling we're going to be seeing this pest for many, many, many years to come because it's species dependent in terms of it does feed primarily on only ash, but it does take a large variety of white ash, green ash, a number of the different species of ash, and it usually attacks the older trees first. Then, you know, the ash I don't think is going to be going away anytime soon, and unfortunately, I don't think the beetle's going to go away anytime soon either. I think I expect this to be a really hard-hitting pest that will be with us for years.
I remember we had talked in a previous show about the possibility of bringing in a natural adversary for the emerald ash borer.
Yeah, that's correct. They've tried a lot of different things, and they are still working on different techniques and strategies to try to help mitigate the damage that this pest could have in the United States. And, you know, hopefully something really breaks through, but and like I said, I really have a feeling that we're going to see more and more of that. I don't have it confirmed at the Landis Arboretum, but it would not surprise me that we end up seeing it sometime in the near future.
Are there any safeguards that you can take to protect your trees, or is it just random
keep
chance?
Healthy trees? You know, trees healthy are always, you know, have a better, it's like a human being that's healthy. It has a better chance at surviving and fighting off insects and diseases, and that's always your best bet. And ash in landscapes certainly could be preserved. There's a number of different treatments out there that, you know, you could do to keep your ash from getting it. But it's really the forested situations that are going to be hit the hardest and the hardest to control.
And a lot of there are some websites out there that sort of list some of those controls. And mostly it's removing of ash trees that are not part of the landscape. So if you have and sort of harvesting the wood before it's too late, so that you can at least get some value out of that.
Mm. Okay. Mm. Well, let's go to the phones. 1-800-348-2551. Fred Breglia and Greg Ward on our monthly gardening program. First up is Merle in Argyle. Hi, Merle. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
I got a question about a catalpa tree. It's about 25 foot tall, and I'm a little concerned because it broke off at, it didn't break, but it branched off into two trunks about 4.5 feet up. Should I cut one off or just let her grow?
How big do you think those two trunks are at the place where they kind of break off, diameter-wise, just a ballpark?
Right now, I'm just looking at it. They're probably diameter probably 4 to 5 inches, both of them. And the main trunk is about 6 to 7 inches.
Yeah, okay, so four to five inch diameter per each of the two trunks.
Right.
Yep. You know, you're at a point where you still could get away with making a cut and creating a one-trunked tree out of that. If it gets larger, there's a diminishing point of return there where you would not want to cut it and you put a cable in if you want to keep the tree from splitting. But if it's 4 or 5 inches, it definitely can still be done. The main thing I would say is just to make sure that you do make a proper pruning cut when you make that. You only get really one shot at getting that right. So,
what do you mean a pruning cut? Well, the pruning where you cut off the other branch.
Yeah, got it. Yep, yeah, and there's a good consumer website out there that you can go online and see diagrams if you needed to. It's called treesaregood.com. We also put a link to that on the Landis Arboretum's website.
And you guys would suggest cutting one of them off?
If it's only what we have there is what we call a structural defect. A structural defect is a tree that, 4 or 5 feet off the ground, splits into multiple trunks, one or more, say two or more. And long term, that becomes a failure point. So,
that's what I thought.
Yeah, so it is going to fail at some point in its life, most likely at that point. So, a lot of times with young trees, it's always about, reducing the likelihood of that failure by creating a single trunk plant.
And this tree is about 25, 30 feet tall.
And if the trunks are close together, the angle is tight, those are especially reasons to work on it. It's sort of wide and seems proportional, if one side is even to the other side, it's possible it would hang in there on its own.
They're pretty much the same size.
Yeah, if there was one that was stronger, more upright, straighter, that's usually the one that we would say leave on. And weaker, if there was one, that would be the one to take off. And generally, I like to say that, we don't like to take off more than 30% of a tree's foliage in one pruning session. So if you're going to reduce it, one way to try to reduce some of the stress to the tree is to take sort of like half of it off this year and then half of it off next year. So in other words, just take the top portion off this year, knowing that next year we're coming back and making a final cut.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea.
But if it is only 4 or 5 inches, if it was my tree, why not? At this point in the game, it's still okay.
Yeah.
And if not long term, it probably most likely would fail.
Okay. General question, for a cherry tree to transplant, when's the best time? And it's about 10 foot tall. It's a new plant.
What kind of cherry?
I don't know.
Yeah. The dormant season would be ideal, though. You don't want to get it when it's actively growing.
So October, usually after the first week of October and any time into November, if it's some native cherry or flowering cherry, that'll work out.
Yep. Okay. Or you could wait till spring. Another way to reduce shock, again, is you could go in the fall, since it's going to be a pretty big tree, and my guess is a pretty good root ball on that. You could actually go around the root ball and do what we call root pruning it. You get a spade.
Now,
well, you could do the root pruning anytime, because what you're doing is you're just getting a sharp spade and you're going around and kind of making the shape of the ball, but you're not actually lifting it. You're just going straight down, cutting roots, pulling it straight back out. Attempt to sort of
growing on shale, so it's not even going to be very deep in the ground.
Yep, that's correct. It'll be more shallow and wide than it is deep. But preliminary root pruning, and if you wanted to do it like in the fall, you could do it in the fall as well, with the intention of coming back in the spring and harvesting it.
All right, Merle, thanks a lot for the call. Now, getting back to his original question of the tree with two trunks, and you'd recommend pruning the weaker of the two.
If you had a weaker one, yeah. Yep.
But is it more dangerous to do a bad botch job on a prune like that of a big section of a tree, or to just let it go as is?
Well, you know, that's which is the worst of the two evils.
Yeah.
It depends, I guess, on how bad that botch job would be. A younger tree, say, in 6-inch diameter. So I like to think of people and plants sort of, there's a lot of similarities, a lot of differences. But one of the similarities is that a younger tree is more forgiving. Therefore, it can heal sort of, if you want to call it, botch jobs better.
Well,
if it was
bad
a large
pruning
tree,
job.
It's not ever going to fix that bad pruning cut.
So will you kill the tree then in that case?
No, you wouldn't. I mean, you'd have to do something pretty severe to kill it.
The biggest
thing would be not letting it peel bark as he cut it off. So if he did an undercut, cut it away from that main point where he's going to make the final cut, takes all the weight away, and you're left with just a small little stub, and then you can come in and, you know, with a good tool, a good sharp pruning tool would be recommended, come in and make that final cut. And if you are going to do that timing, I didn't get a chance to really talk about timing, but your timing on that is kind of like, this is the sort of the later part of that kind of pruning.
Yep.
So now is okay, but if we wait till like the end of August, doing that kind of pruning could actually stimulate late season growth, and late season growth becomes more prone to winter damage.
Okay, that makes sense. So, let's take a break here. We are with Fred Breglia and Greg Ward. It's our gardening show, as you may have guessed. Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We will be back to the phones in a moment.
Support comes from Dr. Joseph Cohen, optometrist. Eye examinations and classic eyewear in historic Uptown Kingston, most insurance accepted. Optical diversity in the Hudson Valley, cohenoptometry.com. Edward Garbasic, certified financial planner, Havoc and Wealth Strategies, Wilbraham, Massachusetts. Providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. Havocandwealthstrategies.com. Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services and a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. Adams Ferriker Farms, Poughkeepsie, Kingston, Newburgh, and Wappinger. Trees, shrubs, blooming perennials, Adams-grown annuals and bedding plants, gardening supplies, and advice. AdamsFarms.com. And the Lake George Dinner Theater, presenting the comedy Lake Effects, running now through October 11. LakeGeorgeDinnerTheater.com for more information and tickets.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Fred Breglia is here. Greg Ward is here. They talk gardening. I'm your host, Ray Graff. Back to the phones we go. Richard in Kingston, you're on.
Oh, hello. I have a question about a maple tree. It's a sugar maple. It's pretty old because it's very huge. It's roadside. And it's got a trunk that, I guess, many years ago, split into four sections, and last year during the winter, the city plow trucks, I guess, cut one of the roots, one of the large roots that was next to the street, and now I've got what appears to be one of the four trunks dying or dead. And what I wanted to do, hopefully, was to have a pruner come in, prune off the dead, and try and save the tree rather than have it removed. Do you feel that that's a pretty likely eventuality that I might save it?
You know, you got a shot at saving it. The first thing I would recommend, because, you know, the cheapest way out of this in terms of getting good information, in my opinion, would be to get a certified arborist in there to look at this tree of yours. Have them do an unbiased consult, and somebody that doesn't take down trees, you know, of course, perhaps maybe a better option. But we like to think of all certified arborists as being ethical, so you wouldn't get wrong information, and therefore you'd at least know kind of what the facts are. Because it sounds like to me that with the four trunks and the fact that somebody cut a big root and you see one of the stems go, that's not too surprising. When you do root damage, all these roots are connected, obviously, to different parts of the tree. So one root somewhere is going to affect, a shoot or a stem somewhere else. But the fact that you've mentioned it has like four stems makes me think that it probably is a structurally defected plant. That doesn't mean, you know, take down, and that doesn't even mean unhealthy. But what it does mean is it probably would end up needing a cable in there. And again, a certified arborist looking at this tree could assess both its health and its structural integrity. And those are not always the same thing. So it's very possible for a good structured tree to be unhealthy, and it's actually quite possible for a unhealthy tree to be structurally sound. So, but if it's unhealthy, we probably wouldn't put a lot of money into cabling it and fixing it. But if it's healthy, then we have a shot. So it'd be, you know, something that I would say would be a good one for a consult.
Now, what do you mean by cabling?
Well, they put cables in to sort of help hold these codominant stems together. So you have a spot where there's like two or three stems coming out of a central point. The lower that point, point being a trunk, the lower on that where that occurs, the greater the likelihood of the failure. And, of course, the more catastrophic of, you know, the consequences of that failure.
And if you're taking out one of four, you're now sort of changing the weight of the tree, and so that the tree may be, you know, sort of weighted to one side, and so now you cable between the three, or possibly to the ground, but usually between the three, you cable from one leader, one of those co-leaders, to the other to sort of allow them to hold each other up.
Yeah. Isn't there a danger of making it too tight and strangling the tree, so to speak?
Well, there is, but again, this is something that you would really want to get a certified arborist in there, a really qualified company, because yes, there is a danger of that. And the goal is really not to make them really tight. And the newest cabling systems have been incorporating a number of different synthetic materials that get 12 years of lifespan and then need to be replaced usually every decade or 12 years. Some of them stretch that even further. But you don't just want, and it's also a select correct location to install those cables.
Yeah.
So too low, not going to work. Too high, not going to work. There is a methodology in terms of installing it. So perfect case for a consult.
All right, let's go to Johanna in Northampton. You're on.
Thank you. Well, the weather's been great for growing things, and it's growing a bumper crop of snails.
Oh, yeah.
That is so true.
Everything is, but the squash, which is prickly, is getting eaten by snails. Any advice on dealing with them?
A lot, you know, there's lots of things you can do. If you're, you know, we've been in the spring, we're talking a lot about mulching around. If this is vegetables, specifically mulching your vegetables, but that also becomes a place for the snails to hide. So,
oh, yeah.
So you can consider lifting that and cultivating lightly to do any kind of weeding. You know, you can use topical products like diatomaceous earth, other.
Which has to get replenished every time it rains.
Correct. Yep, it does. You can use collars. These are usually little copper strips that you would place around the plant. One of the things with snails is they don't usually always leave the plant, so you do have to make sure you kind of clean the plant off. Slugs leave every day because the sun gets to them. Snails can kind of hide out in their shells and stay around.
Right.
But those little copper strips will sort of act as barriers. Nothing wrong with a little, beer swimming pool that often collects them as well.
Okay.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You take beer, you get one, and the snails get one.
I'll be darned. And the snails like beer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, they go and drown. But if you don't cover it, the next rain will.
Oh, yeah. No, this is something you would be doing regularly. This is not a once-a-week garden visit. This is a daily,
maybe
even a couple times a day, just kind of run through there. Collecting them, you know, if you're going to be able to do that often, literally just going in and, you know, picking them off, it makes a big difference. The one, you know, non-toxic product to us, but not to snails, that I know of that's out there is a active ingredient, iron phosphide, and that is that apparently they will eat and does them in, and it has, you know, no ill effects to the soil, and I believe it has a label for edibles as well.
Okay.
And that's something
I can't be out there every day.
Yeah.
So it's
look around for that product. I'm pretty sure it has a label for edibles, which means you could apply it around your vegetables.
Okay.
Okay.
For anybody wanting to try the beer swimming pool, I found that the cheaper the beer, ironically, the better it works.
They like it.
Really?
So apparently, you know, I like better beer, but snails prefer the cheaper beer.
They're cheap drunks.
Yes.
They're cheap
That's drunks. Nice. So. Johanna, well put. Thank you very much for being here.
Okay.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. Tony in North Adams. Tony, you're on.
Hi, I have a question about pussy willows. I bought some from Project Native. I think it's down in Green Barrington.
Yep.
And I was thinking it was going to be like bush-like, but it seems to be more tree-like. So I was wondering, how much of that can I cut off, and will it produce like suckers around the base of it? It's not very big around right now.
Yeah.
It's only a few years old.
Yeah. Yes, normally they would be multiple stems, usually from one single stem, at least initially. And if you planted it as a very young plant and it had just one stem, it's possible for it to have just kind of keep going and look sort of like a tree. So yeah, pruning that back, not too late now, though I would have suggested June, but you could take a third, up to a third of that off now, and you probably would get one more growth spurt here in August, September that would make it look more shrub-like. You may want to do it all over again, possibly even cutting it lower than you cut it this time next spring, and try considering that earlier, so sometime in May.
So would that be done? That would be done in the spring before it like blooms, or
So you would have a choice. If you do it now, you would then hopefully get some branches that will then have that sort of those little fuzzy catkins that you like to see, flower heads. You'd like to see. If you want to do it in the spring, you would be probably pruning those off before it happened.
All right, Tony, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. By the way, the National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Rensselaer and Washington counties in New York until 3:21 this afternoon. Severe thunderstorm warning for Rensselaer and Washington counties in New York. We'll keep you posted here. Some more rotten weather moving through. We've had some really, really hellacious storms the last few days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had some big ones at the Arboretum, too. The driveway washed out a couple times.
Any trees down?
Nothing of significance.
Okay.
A few small ones here or there, but nothing big.
All right, let's go to Lynn in Shelburne Falls. Hi, Lynn, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thank you for taking my call. You've always got some good input, too. And Greg and Fred, I have a couple butterfly bushes that suffered seriously last winter. They're coming up now, but they're still so small they're not going to make it. I mean, to bloom, I believe. How can I protect them? Will they make it?
So there, this was a really severe winter we just had. You are not alone. Almost everyone had a butterfly bush either, severe damage or loss. It probably will grow enough to bloom if it's come up 2 or 3 feet now.
It's only a foot.
It's very small.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's happened is you had this well-established plant, I assume, with a big kind of woody base, and now it's just sprouting off in one corner of that.
Somewhat. It was only like a year and a half, maybe 2 years in the ground. Yeah.
Okay. I do think that there's still a possibility. Adding some nutrients, getting it to grow a little bit more will be helpful. But the best way to protect woody plants that are, not hardy for our zone is to bring the ground up around them. And I like to say it that way because really what you're going to do is go get some compost or some topsoil. This is sometime in November, and just gently pack it around the plant. You probably don't need a wheelbarrow full, but you may need a quarter of a wheelbarrow full. And you'll make this raised mound that is maybe 12 or 15 inches high at the top and casting over. And all the branches that grew this year are still going to be sticking out of this mound. You're going to pack it in there tightly and then remove that in the middle of April.
Sounds like making a blanket.
It's kind of like making a blanket.
Yeah. My next question was, I have a Rosie Jane that I just bought this year. I don't know what the technical name for it is. But
We need another one. A Rosie
Jane.
Is it a type of rose?
No, it's it's kind of a droopy plant. It grows up and over and kind of does a willow-like thing.
You haven't heard of that one, Greg?
I haven't yet, no.
Here. I have a thing out there, but... this is a question for a lot of different plants anyway.
Yeah.
I want to put it in a big pot or something that will keep it from the frost this year. I'd rather not have it on the ground because it's a nice leafy plant. Can I put it in a big pot?
So this is a warm weather plant. This is going to be an interior plant for the rest of the year.
It's supposed to be hardy. Here's the name.
Oh, good.
Lindenberry.
Okay. Can you say that first part again?
G A U R A.
Guara. Guara.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So guara is a perennial. That's
That's right.
Tender perennial. Has a nice long extended bloom, and that's one of the reasons that it doesn't always have a great winter. But you could keep that in a pot, sure, and have it, you know, bloom, and then you would store that pot in the garage in a nice protected location, and that should work.
Splendid.
Oh, friendly. Thank you very much.
Lynn, thank you very much. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Yeah, it's the gardening show. Back to the phones we go. We go to Cheryl and Troy. Hi, Cheryl, you're on. Or not. Cheryl, are you there? No. Okay, well, goodbye, Cheryl. Rachel in Boston Spa. Rachel, are you there?
Yes, hi.
You're on.
My question is for, I'm attempting to plant, or actually I have planted, I'm attempting to grow moringa, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, trees. And I just need to know what I need to overwinter them.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a little stumped again as to what a moringa tree is. That's two now.
two in a row.
It's native to Africa.
Oh, good.
Makes
me feel better.
It's a little better.
Highly sought after for its nutrients. Actually eating the leaves.
So, do you know the zone of this tree? The hardiness zone of this tree?
I believe it's arid.
High elevation.
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I was trying to get a little bit more information before you took my call.
Okay.
Like
well,
I
we can still
I've
wing it.
Them, and they're actually growing. I just now we're fast approaching fall. I just wanted to know what I would do to overwinter them.
Yeah. So I'll run through three scenarios. If in fact it's very hardy, it's a it's a temperate plant. We'll live in our zone. You simply plant them, in the ground, and you're all set. I doubt that's the case because Africa's a fairly warm continent, and there's not too many places that have high enough elevation. There's a few maybe, but not many. And so if it's a zone 6 or 7 or higher number, then you'll want to keep it in a container and winter it either in your house where it never actually freezes if it's zone 8, 9, 10, or winter it in a place where you're going to moderate the winter, where somehow winter will never get, any colder than the zone that it's recommended for. So that could be a well-sealed garage, a nice tight garage. It could be something like a root cellar. It could be your basement, where the tree still goes dormant but doesn't get that cold. The one in between there was the tropical version. That's where it has to be in front of a window, always growing, and probably not get chillier than 50 degrees, and hopefully not for too long.
Okay. But my other question is, when you said dormant, grow light wouldn't be appropriate?
So I would just do a little more research to see, but zone 9 is pretty warm, is what we just found out, that it's zone 9 tree.
Okay.
And so I would err on the side of caution and use it in the interior aspect. Maintain the tree.
By a window
in a room temperature room. Sometime by the 1st of October, maybe, if it's a warm fall, maybe mid-late October, and not bring it out until the end of May, 1st of June.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
From what I'm seeing, I'm sort of Googling this while we're on the air.
That's cheating.
Well, we're talking about African trees, and Greg and I are not authorities on African
trees.
All
right, fine, I'll let it slide. Go ahead.
Now, we would never do this with a Northeast native, but it does say that it does not tolerate freeze or frost at all, and it does say hardy to zone 9 and 10. So that means, definitely very warm, doesn't like cold, and it sounds like it likes really dry conditions.
So that's kind of like a Chinese hibiscus, the tropical flowering hibiscus we see, or an interior plant like a ficus tree, that same kind of thing. And those would be much happier never seeing significant temperatures below 50, certainly not for any extended period.
Okay. All right. But, I just know if maybe I needed to build a greenhouse between now and October.
If you have a nice sunroom, if you have a nice south-facing exposure in your house somewhere, that would be adequate, I'm
all
sure.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Rachel. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. And if you do build a greenhouse, give us a call next time. Tell us how it went. That'd be a pretty big project.
It's a big project.
All right. Let's go to Wendy in Duanesburg. Wendy, you're on.
Hi. This question is for Fred. Hi, Fred.
Hello.
We have pine trees. I'm pretty sure they're spruce. And they've been getting a problem with them that I looked on Google for everything possible that could happen to a pine tree, and I didn't see anything that even came close. There is, in the new growth, a bulge. And beyond the bulge, after the bulge has been there for a while, in the stem, it withers beyond that. But it's, you know, with the new growth on the stem, there's the needles that come out.
Yep.
Well, they stay on the little bulge in the branch.
Yeah, I know actually what it is.
Can we hold the suspense for just a minute? We have to take a break here. And Wendy, if you would stay on the line.
Sure.
And then I'll Google this and I'll answer it for you.
All right, Greg's up next.
No, I'm not going to. Let's take a short break. Wendy, hang in there. 1-800-348-2551. Back in a flash.
Support comes from Pirates Lakeside Grill on Nassau Lake. Local organic grass-fed beef burgers, Milwaukee hot dogs, bison, and fish fry open Thursday through Sunday, noon to 8 p.m. PiratesLakesideGrill.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting the Bang on a Can Marathon featuring composer Steve Reich and Wilco's Glenn Cochi on August 2nd and Jason Isbell in concert on August 15th. MassMocha.org. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. And Northshire Bookstore, Manchester, Vermont, and Saratoga, New York, an independent bookstore offering books, author events, gifts for children and adults, and more. Northshire.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. We go back to Wendy in Duanesburg. Wendy, is it a spruce or is it a pine? That's the conversation we've been having during the break.
Okay, what's the difference?
Well, if it's a pine, it's going to have needles that come off of the stem in pairs. In more than one. It could be three, it could be five, it could be two.
No, it's not.
Single needles off of a stem.
Yes.
Fairly short little needles.
Short
an
needles.
Long.
Yes.
Yep, so then it would be a spruce, and then that's good news, because if it's a pine, the gall that we were talking about would be bad. In fact, you'd probably removal. But if it's a spruce, that actually means good news for you, because it's most likely a spruce gall adelgid caused by an insect. Really common, they'll get out on those stems, and they'll often cause the stem that it actually is on to die and everything beyond that to kind of wilt and die. But they're easy to control for the most part. You could... From a cultural sort of way, you could go through and you could prune those out and get rid of them. And then there is a point there where you could treat for the crawler. The insect will actually leave that little gall at one point. And when it is in its crawler stage, it can be treated with horticultural oil pretty easily. If you wanted to take a photo of that and send it to me, I could confirm all that with you.
What's your email address?
fred@landisarboretum.org.
But
the good news is that is on a spruce very easily, and almost never a case where a spruce has died from that.
Yeah, it does seem to just cripple it in places. And there are I can tell that where I call it a pod, but it's not, it's the bulge, where the bugs have come out, and it kind of looks like almost like some sort of a pine cone.
Does it look pineapple-y?
Yes, okay. Yeah. Very. That's
then 100% spruce gall adelgid is the culprit. And it's an insect that causes the gall, and it looks like a little pineapple.
Yeah, so there's nothing I can do for it until
So you could prune if you want to prune, especially any.
Yep.
Right now, you probably have some brown ones that are possibly last year's. They actually, if you look, they're not right on the very tip anymore. They're kind of in farther on the tree. And then green ones. The green ones maybe are turning brown, but they're still sealed up. The guys are still in there. And if you wanted to prune all those off, that would go a long way to controlling it.
That's what would you do once you pruned it, assuming the guys are still in there? How do you
want
dispose
to throw
that
in the garbage and get rid of it. Don't compost that, and don't even throw it on the neighbor's property or even in your own back lot or any of that stuff. You want to get that off-site.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, I'm heading out there now then.
Yep. Well, Wendy, thanks for hanging in there during the break. We appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in Altamont. Bill, you're on.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I've got a question on actually a neighbor's tree, but something we were just talking about. It was a plum tree that he probably about 6 inches in diameter at the base that he damaged with a tractor and girded most of the bark at ground level. This is just in the last couple of days, and we're wondering what he could do to any way to recover from that.
So when you say girdle, you mean he scraped off bark down at the ground, kind of at the base of the tree?
Yep.
And how big of a diameter do you think that tree is again? Just
it's about 6 inches.
About six inches. Okay.
6, 7 inches.
Yep. Do you know how far that scraping went? I'm assuming it didn't go all the way around. It must have more on one side than not.
Well, I would say maybe 80%.
About 80%. At this point in the game, I would say, you know, you're going to leave it alone and kind of see what happens. There's a couple of things working for you, and that is that it's not a really old tree. An older tree taking that kind of injury, not good at all. Any tree taking that kind of injury, not good at all. But, you know, like younger kids, they can fall, bang themselves up, and then jump back up, and a week later they're better. Younger trees are kind of like that, too. They have an ability to grow through adversity. So we're hoping, the goal here is hoping that 20% that's left or 30% that's left has enough in it to sort of feed a lot of the tree. And my guess is probably lose some of the tree, but it's kind of a waiting game. You want to leave it alone for a little while, kind of see what it does. My guess is that you're going to lose some corresponding branches. The question is going to be, what's left? Is that enough for you to leave the tree? And if so, then as time goes on, that little bit of 20% will continue to multiply. And, you know, next year, if it does make it, it'll be 30% and 40%. And eventually, it could actually even engulf all of the old wound. And if it does that, you get a brand new tree and you reset. So sort of keep an eye on that one. And
nothing to put on it. No topical things. Leave it. Let the air get at it. Any loose kind of flaky bark, he could trim off lightly, right?
But absolutely.
That's it.
Yep, and that's a good point, because a lot of times people they see a wound like that, and the first thing they do is go to a garden center and buy something called wound dressing or wound sealer, and those kinds of products have been proven to not work at all. So the tree has its own best natural defense.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of tar, sealers, paints have been proven not to work. Leave it alone. Like
even the wrap bandage, don't use that either.
No, the tree really has to. The key is that 20% is what's alive. Trees have all their veins and arteries, if you want to think of it that way, cambium, xylem, phloem, but it's all on the outside surface of the actual trunk, so it's not internal. And it's based, really what we're geared towards is, can we get that 20% to support whatever's up above it? And if it does, then as time goes on, it's going to start to grow more and wants to close that wound over. If it was an older tree, you'd be in some pretty bad shape, but the fact that it's younger, I've seen some pretty bad ones come back from that kind of a damage when they're young. So you got a good chance. Make sure you give it water too. When I say water, once a week during drought times, and anyone, even with healthy trees out there listening, a good time to water trees for winter survivability and give them a good chance to get through that winter, especially if it's a hard winter, and grow next year, is to apply water through the month of August into September and sometimes even into October, because they'll start to store a lot of energy in August and September, trees in general, plants in general.
Bill, thanks a lot for the call, and the number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Doe and Wendell. Doe, you're on.
Hi. I have two questions. The first is I'd like to know what kind of vegetable plant I can put in to replace the peas that I'm taking out of the bed.
Well,
something fast growing.
You can certainly do lettuce, spinach. You could do kale. Kale's going to take a little while. If you're going to do these things from seed, kale's going to take a couple weeks to germinate, but there's plenty of fall for the kale to grow. But lettuce and spinach are pretty quick. Radishes are very fast. You could consider beets. It's getting a little late for beets, but
the greens would be good.
The greens would be fine. And certainly Swiss chard. Swiss chard would be another great one. You could consider, though, you probably want to rotate the spot, putting in another row of peas. Did you say peas or beans? You said peas, correct? Yeah, so it's sometimes you can get a pretty decent, not as good as the spring crop, but a pretty decent crop of peas for the fall by planting them now.
That sounds good. Okay, the other question is, I have rain barrels that I, like 50-gallon water get in, and every once in a while I put in half a cup of bleach to kill the mosquito larvae. Now, is that water usable on my vegetable plots?
If the bleach if it's been like several days since you put the bleach in, I'm sure it's fine.
Okay.
You could consider covering it with a screen instead.
Huh.
And that way the mosquitoes can't get in to lay their eggs. You could use there is actually a product out there called a mosquito dunk. And this is a little donut that has the spores of a bacteria that kills mosquito larvae in water.
What's the name of that again?
The common or the brand name is Mosquito Dunk, D-U-N-K, and it's a type of bacillus that affects all flies, and mosquitoes are in the fly family. And so you just drop it in there, and it will keep the mosquitoes from growing, and it'll last several weeks. And if you read the package, it will kind of give you an idea about how much to use per. And so if you have a whole donut, you may only need to like cut it up into quarters and throw that in. And that would be perfectly acceptable to put on your garden.
Sounds like a good idea. Doe, thanks a lot for the call.
Oh, thank you.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. We are joined by Greg Ward of Ward's Nursery and Fred Breglia of the Landis Arboretum. And Fred, you had an event coming up.
Yeah, we have one. We have a lot of stuff going on at the Arboretum, and you could really find out all of the programs, events, workshops, classes, concerts, all online, www.landisarboretum.org. But the one that I wanted to talk about briefly here is just that we have our annual 5K race, our 5K run / walk. And this year's, it actually marks the 8th annual 5K that we've done at Landis Arboretum. It's very official. We have time clocks and all the people that...
You get a t-shirt?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Really nice one.
Are you going to do it then, Greg?
I'm going to do some kind of 5K this fall.
Oh, good for you.
I'm not sure about... I'll make it over there.
Well,
I'm going to think about it.
Of course, I'm biased, but I'd like to say that, of course, the Landis Arboretum's 5K is one of the most attractive 5Ks possibly enter.
I think you might have me hooked.
I mean, where else can you run through trees from all over the parts of the world? Old growth forests, mountaintop views, vistas. So one of the nicest, definitely attractive 5Ks out there.
And when
does
is that?
Come with a t-shirt. It's August 16th, and you can go online. You can print off the registration form online and mail it in, or you could sign up the day of the race. The race will actually start at 9 o'clock, and we're going to start registrations that day starting at 7:30. All the rules and regs are all online for that.
But any danger of being attacked by wild animals during the
It's never happened yet.
Okay, good.
You know, you never say never, and there's never an always either.
A couple of deer flies, maybe.
All right, well, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if you run fast enough, it's a motivator, and you get ahead of those deer flies.
So it's landisarboretum.org?
Yes, it is.
Yep. All right, thank you. Let's go back to the phones. Roger in Albany. Roger, you're on.
Hi, I've got a really old willow tree, and unfortunately, I live out in a rural area, and this willow tree was planted years ago as a sapling right over the leach field. Well, just recently, I've been experiencing some difficulty with my leach field where it's not draining, and I'm assuming that the roots from this willow tree have taken over my leach field.
That's a really good and probably guess there. Yeah. You know, most of the time with smaller trees, especially non-aggressive smaller trees like that, you know, not a big deal. But a willow tree, is it a weeping willow tree by any chance?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And, you know, that they're one of the worst ones only because they can get really large. And roots are always opportunistic. And, of course, you know, opportunistic means they're going for water and nutrients. And, of course, you know, weeping willows are really big. They're really aggressive. And they will find their ways into leach fields often. And if it's really close, like you're talking about, I would say that's probably the culprit for that leach field not working properly.
Yeah. And it's possible do you have your tank emptied ever?
Yes.
Okay.
I had actually, now that I think of it, over the probably the last 10 years, there's only two of us, and I've had to do it every year. And I'm thinking that maybe the lack of drainage had something to do with that.
Yeah, probably it does, because that's – I'm no expert when
it's
comes
different
to –
show.
Yeah. But I would say that based on experience, I've seen this happen a lot, especially willows. They're probably one of the worst ones for leach fields. Great tree in the right spot. But
Well, it was the reason my wife wanted to buy the house in the first place.
Can you move the leach field?
Yeah.
Well, one of the questions I had is I've read where they have chemicals you can put in your septic tank that will, I guess, dissolve the roots. I don't think that would solve the problem.
I think the problem is that your leach field has been compromised, and you either need to solve that and possibly remove the tree or put in a new leach field.
Okay. Roger, thanks, and good luck. We appreciate it. I love willow trees. Had one growing up when I was a kid. My father planted it, and I swear it grew to enormous height in what seemed like a year or two.
It's amazing sometimes. Looking at saplings that I've planted as well, looking back and how, like, oh, my God, I planted that?
And I remember it eventually had to be cut down because it was too – it wasn't that close to houses, but I guess the roots go so far.
They will go 2 to 3 times the canopy spread.
Wow, that's amazing.
Way out.
All right, let's go back to – go ahead. Did you say say something?
No,
sir. Let's go to Tim in Mount Tremper. Tim.
Hi. I've got a question about straightening a cherry tree. I planted a fairly large, about 12-foot cherry this spring in May, and I've noticed that it's crooked, and I want to get it straightened out, and I'm wondering if you have any advice on how to do that.
Yeah, that's a piece of cake. If you planted it just recently, you're not going to have a real hard time. I would say what you want to do is get a couple of stakes. Of course, go the opposite side of the lean, and you want to get, it's probably a two-person job. One person kind of pushes on the tree, and the other person ties I usually use old hose, like old garden hose. You wrap it around the trunk so that you could put a piece of wire through that hose so the wire is not actually hitting the trunk. The hose is, doesn't create any injuries. And you usually do with two stakes to opposite of that lean. One person pushes, the other person tightens up the wire, which is running through a hose to not hurt the trunk, around a stake. And you just don't want to be careful not to be pushing it till you hear cracking pop. You're not really, you're just going a little bit. It should be pretty easy to push, tighten it up, and then even if it's not exactly where you want it, let it sit there for a little while, maybe a week or two. Try it again. You'll get a little bit more out of it. Once it's straight, I'd say leave it. At this point, I'd probably stake it. Leave it through the fall, through the winter, into the spring, and then next summer you could probably untie that, and you should be good. Did you have...
No, I mean that's exactly what I would say. You want to pull it as far as it's reasonably willing to move and no farther. And if that isn't far enough, you would wait some time and then do it again. And then the tree will need to be supported so that it stays there probably for a year. And then often it's very important to remember to take off the tying materials, or at least check them if you're going to do it again, and make sure they're not too tight within a year, because that can be a problem down the road.
Very good. Can I ask one other quick question?
Very quickly.
I've got a huge old hydrangea that hasn't been cared for. It's just off the corner of the property. I'd like to do some pruning of it, get it in better shape. When's the best time to do that?
Spring. Best
Beautiful.
Time is spring.
Spring it is. Thank you, Tim. Let's go quickly to Eileen in Saratoga. Eileen, you have about 30 seconds.
Okay, quickly. I have two lilac bushes that have not done very well. They're on an east-southeast exposure, and they now have long, stringy branches, like about 8 foot high.
Can I prune those? Well, are they getting shade, or are they getting lots of sun?
No, they get sun.
They get lots of sun?
They do.
Okay, well, the general rule is you want to take out about, in a perfect world, about 30% of the oldest, largest canes every year or every other year. And the reason for that is that you keep all the young, more vigorous, blooming stems there. So you kind of replace the old stems with the young stems if you have multiple young stems to do that with. And if that's the case, yes, you can. Pruning it after it blooms would be the ideal time, or spring prior to bud break.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Eileen, thanks a lot. All right, gentlemen, the contact information, Greg.
Wardsnursery.com is the website, and 413-528-0166 is the phone number.
All right, and Fred?
Yep, and the website's www.landisarboretum.org. My email personal is fred@landisarboretum.org. And also, I'd like to encourage people to like us on Facebook because it's one of the easiest ways to stay current on what's happening today, what's something new and blooming in the garden. So,
all right, well, guys, it was a fast show, and it was a lot of fun, and we'll see you next month. Support comes from Canajoe Harry Library. No, let's start again. I'll read the right line now. The Arkell Museum at Canajoe Harry, presenting a view from the shore, Winslow Homer's impressions of the coast, wood engravings and etchings made after Homer's paintings, now through August 24th, arkellmuseum.org. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com. And Hadley Garden Center, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated for over 51 years, offering annuals, perennials, nursery stock, organic fertilizer, and advice, hadleygardencenter.com. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Your phones were answered by Aubrey Mulvey. Jessica Blaustein Marshall is our producer. I'm Ray Graff. It's a Food Friday tomorrow. I hope you are with us. Stay tuned now for a news update.